his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Our final reading tonight. Jesus took up with him Peter, James, and John, led them up high on a mountain, apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter interrupted and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's quickly make three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what else to say. Quite frankly, he was terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, only Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you know this, but my family loves going down to Tennessee, to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I just absolutely love being in the mountains. I especially love being on the mountaintop, because up on the mountaintop, you get to look down into the lush valleys and see all the beauty and splendor for miles. But what you don't see is the chaos that is down in the valley. Chaos meaning good old-fashioned life, good old-fashioned daily problems. But up on the mountain, you feel close to God. Or at least I do. And I think about that in a biblical sense, and in all the places God shows up. There seems to be a reoccurring theme that God shows up on the mountain. Take, for example, when Abraham was tested by faith. He took his son, built an altar, and laid him on there. It was up on the mountain. And he was obedient to the point where he was ready to sacrifice his son, and God showed up in the form of an angel and said, "You've passed the test. Look over there." And over in the fence row was a ram that God provided. And that day, Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." A mountaintop experience where the Lord provides. Or how about Moses being summoned to the top of a mountain by the faint glow of a burning bush? So holy that he had to take his shoes off in the presence of God. And then receiving a call from God to go and release his, or go and lead his people out of Egypt, right? And Moses saying, "Who, me?" And coming up with 1,000 excuses why it couldn't be him. God said, I will, you can do this. Not only can you do it, I'm going to be there with you. And Moses, I love the Cecil B. DeMille version of the Ten Commandments, where Moses goes up on the mountain like me, kind of, you know, mature, and comes off the mountain like someone who had gone completely gray or white in the presence of God, just like Ted. So, just give you a visual, before, after.
Yes.
Before, after. Right? There's something about being in the presence of God that changes us, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Moses came off that mountain with the ability to fulfill his calling. He would be summoned to that mountain again to get those critical tablets that taught us how to be in relationship with God and with each other. It would be up on the mountain where Jesus would be transfigured. And again, the presence of God shows up. And in that voice, he says, "This is my beloved, the one I love." And he gives Peter, James, and John some advice. Not only advice, but a command. Listen to him. Did you pick that up in the text? Listen to him, because he's good at what he does. Right? But in all of these cases, and even in tonight's scripture, the truth of the message is that we can't stay up on the mountain. We have to go back into the valley. We have to go back into the world. We have to go back into the messiness of life. But it's those experiences up on the mountain that give us the hope to live through the valleys, to be pruned by God, to be loved by God, to be forgiven by God. And when we get down there, that's our calling, to do the same, to love and forgive and be led by God. And I would like to think that it's our job to always be seeking the mountaintop experiences, but not just seeking them alone. Jesus is a perfect example. He took three with him up on the mountain. I wonder who you've taken lately. Or better yet, who can you plan to take up on the mountain? It's been a joy and privilege to serve here the last 6 years. And my calling was a mountaintop experience. My come to Jesus moment was a mountaintop experience. And ever since then, I've been dragging as many people as I can to the mountaintop with me. Not for my sake, but for the sake of them experiencing the presence of God. Amen. Jesus, in an ultimate mountaintop experience, takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to his disciples and says, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and experience the fullness of God as you do so." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks. You know, there's days where I just can't get past that. Jesus giving thanks. He knew what was coming, and he gave thanks. And he said, "Take, drink, for this is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." Take and drink. He invites us to the top of the mountain for the sake of experiencing the very presence of God. And so I would invite you to pray with me as we pray that God's Holy Spirit would descend upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would become for us the mountaintop experience of Jesus broken and poured out. That as we partake, we become one with Christ, one with each other, with the hope of bringing others to the mountaintop. In Jesus' name, amen. Song tonight to be played during communion that has a special place in my heart. A dear friend of mine that I know through Emmaus, a talented guitarist and vocalist, almost up there with Carl. He would play this song at the closing ceremony of A Walk to Emmaus. And if you've experienced A Walk to Emmaus, I'm sure you can relate to it. If you haven't, I just want you to imagine a mountaintop experience where you've been in the very presence of God. And allow that to be anchored in. And just know that you are loved beyond comprehension. And that you don't have to be a member of any church to come forward and receive this gift of grace. Just come with an open heart, an open mind, and open hands. I'll tear off a piece of bread and you'll hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you. Then you'll take that bread and dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. Becky, you want to come up and serve tonight? Thank you. The invitation has been extended. All are welcome. Carl, take it away.
I want to build a house upon this mountain, way up high, where the peaceful waters flow, to quench my thirsty soul upon the mountain. I can see for miles upon this mountain, and troubles seem so small they almost disappear. Lord, I love it here upon the mountain. My faith is strengthened by all that I see. You make it easy for me to believe upon the mountain. Oh, upon the mountain. I would love to live upon this mountain and keep the pain of living life so far away. But I know I can't stay. Oh, upon the mountain. I said I'd go, Lord, wherever you lead. For where you are is where I most want to be. And I can tell we're headed for the valley. Yes, we are. My faith is strengthened by all that I've seen. So Lord, help me remember what you've shown me upon the mountain. You bring me up here on the mountain for me to rest and learn and grow. I see the truth upon the mountain, and I carry it to the world far below. So as I go down to the valley, knowing that you will go with me, this is my prayer, Lord, help me to remember what you've done and what you've shown me upon the mountain, upon the mountain. I cherish these times upon the mountain, but I can leave this place because I know someday you'll take me home to live forever upon the mountain. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
The one last mountaintop experience I want to share with you. Moses is called up to the mountain by God, and he's shown the promised land, but he says, you're not going to go there. You see, Moses had been Israel's pastor for 40 years, and God must have been a bishop and said, it's time for an appointment change. Strongsville United Methodist Church, I've seen the dream that you have. And I'm standing on the mountain and thinking, oh my, how exciting it is for you all. What a joy it's been to be your pastor for 6 years. To usher so many people up on the very mountain of God in his presence. To have such sacred moments. How could we ever be upset with God or bitter for the joys that we've shared, the journeys that we've had, and the hope that we have in Christ. Amen. So Pastor Hannah may not be Joshua or Aaron. I forget which one was appointed. But she's going to do great in leading you to the next mountaintop experience. And I would pray and hope and trust that you would rally behind her and join her on the journey to the next mountaintop experience. And don't go it alone. Drag somebody with you. Drag somebody with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.